In uttering a warning note, this play is not for the squeamish. We now present John Sharp, John Moffat, and Noel Howlett in Ubu Cocu by Alfred Jarry, translated by Cyril Connolly, with music composed by John Beckett.
Physical extravaganza opens in the house of Mr. Akras, a scholar specializing in the breeding of polyhedra. Our author merely specifies that the room has a door on each side of the stage, and at the back another door opening onto a private retreat or privy. Mr. Akras is alone.
Oh, but it's like this, look you. I've no grounds to be dissatisfied with my polyhedra. They breed every 6 weeks. They're worse than rabbits. And it's also quite true to say that the regular polyhedra are the most faithful and most devoted to their master. Except that this morning the icosahedron was a little fractious, so that I was compelled, look you, to give it a smack on each of its 20 faces. And that's the kind of language they understand. What is that noise? And my thesis, look you, on the habits of polyhedra, it's getting along nicely, thank you. Only another 25 volumes. What is all that noise? Yes, what is it?
There's a bloke out there who wants a word with you. He's pulled the bell out with his ringing, and he's broken 3 chairs trying to sit down.
Oh, dear, now. What's all this? Monsieur Ubu, sometime King of Poland and Aragon, professor of pataphysics. Well, that makes no sense at all. What's all that about? Pataphysics? Well, never mind. He sounds like a person of distinction. I should like to make a gesture of goodwill to this visitor by showing him my polyhedra. Have the gentleman come up.
Hornstrom Potter! What a miserable kind of hangout you've got here. We've been obliged to tinkle away for more than an hour. And when, finally, your flunkies do make up their minds to let us in, we are confronted by such a miserable orifice that we are at a loss to understand how our strumpot managed to negotiate.
Oh, but it's like this. Excuse me. I was very far from expecting the visit of such a considerable personage. Otherwise, you can be sure I would have had the door enlarged. But you must forgive the humble circumstances of an old collector who is, at the same time, I venture to say, a famous scientist.
Say that by all means, if it gives you any pleasure. But remember that you are addressing a celebrated pataphysician.
Excuse me, sir, you said...
Pataphysician! Pataphysics is a branch of science which we have invented and for which our crying need is generally experienced.
Oh, but it's like this. If you're a famous inventor, we'll understand each other, look you, for between great men...
A little more modesty, sir. Besides... I see no great man here except myself. But since you insist, I have condescended to do you a most signal honour. Let it be known to you, sir, that your establishment suits us and that we've decided to make ourselves at home here.
Oh, but it's like this. Look,
we will dispense with your expressions of gratitude. Oh, and by the way, I nearly forgot. Since it is hardly proper that a father should be separated from his children, we shall be joined by our family in the immediate future.
Oh.
Madame Ubu, together with our dear sons and daughters, Ubu.
Oh.
They are all very quiet, decent, well-brought-up folk.
Oh, but it's like this, look, you. I'm afraid
that... We quite understand. You're afraid of boring us.
Oh.
All right, then. We'll no longer tolerate your presence here except by our kind permission.
Oh.
And one thing more. While we are inspecting the kitchens and the dining room, you will go and look for 3 packing cases which we have deposited in the hall.
Oh, but it's like this. Fancy even thinking of moving in like that on people. It's manifest imposture.
A magnificent posture, exactly, sir. For once in your life, you have spoken the truth.
Oh.
And now, go, off with you, sir. Off, away, off, sir. Have we any right to behave like this? Horns trumpet by our green candle, let us consult our conscience. There he is, in this suitcase, all covered with cobwebs. As you can see, we don't overwork him.
Ubu opens the suitcase. His conscience emerges in the guise of a tall, thin fellow in a shirt.
Sir, and so on and so forth, be so good as to take a few notes.
Excuse me, sir, we are not very partial to writing, though we have no doubt that anything you say would be most interesting. And while we are on the subject, we should like to know how you have the insolence to appear before us in your shirt tails.
Sir, and so on and so forth. Conscience, like truth, usually goes without a shirt. If I have put one on, it is as a mark of respect.
As for that, Mr. or Mrs. Conscience, you are making a fuss about nothing. Answer this question instead. Would it be a good thing to kill Mr. Akras, who has had the audacity to come and insult me in my own house?
Sir, and so on and so forth. To return good with evil is unworthy of a civilized man. Mr. Akras has received you with open arms and made you free of his collection of polyhedra. Mr. Akras, and so forth, is a very fine fellow, and perfectly harmless. It would be a most cowardly act, and so forth, to kill a poor old man who is incapable of defending himself.
Horns trumpet. Mr. Conscience, are you so sure that he can't defend himself?
Absolutely, sir. So it would be a coward's trick to do away with him.
Thank you, sir. We shan't require you further. Since there is no risk attached, we shall assassinate Mr. Akras, and we shall also make a point of consulting you more frequently, for you know how to give us better advice than we had anticipated. Now, into the suitcase with you.
In which case, sir, I think we shall have to leave it at that, and so on and so forth. For today.
And now there enters Akras, backwards, prostrating himself with terror before the 3 red packing cases pushed by his flunky.
Off with you, flunky. And you, Mr. Akras, sir, I want a word with you. I wish you every kind of prosperity, and I entreat you, out of the kindness of your heart, to perform a friendly service for me.
Anything, look, which you can reasonably demand from an old professor who has given up 60 years of his life, look, to studying the habits of the polyhedra.
Sir, we have learned that our virtuous wife, Madame Ubu, is most abominably deceiving us with an Egyptian by the name of Memnon, who combines the functions of a clock at dawn with driving of a sewage truck at night, and in the daytime presents himself as cornutator of our person.
Oh.
Horns, trumpet! We have decided to wreak the most terrible vengeance.
As far as that goes, look you, sir, as to being a cuckold, I can sympathize with you.
We have resolved, then, to inflict a severe punishment. And we can think of nothing more appropriate to chastise the guilty in this case than the torture of impaling.
Excuse me, I still don't see very clearly, look you, how I can be of any help?
By our green candle, sir, since we have no wish for the execution of our sentence to be bungled, we should esteem it a favour if you could be available for a preliminary trial of the stake, just to make sure that it is functioning with maximum efficiency.
Oh, but it's like this, look, not on your life, then. That's too much. I regret, look, you, that I can't perform this little service for you. It's quite out of the question. You've stolen my house from me, look. You told me it's a beggar off, and now you want to put me to death. Oh, no, that's going too far.
Don't distress yourself, my good friend. It was only our little joke. Oh. We shall return when you have quite recovered your composure.
The unfortunate Mr. Akras looks on in terror as the packing cases open. Out of them climb Ubu's trusted henchmen and executioners, the Palcontents, to wit, Crapentake, Bin and Jitters, and Fawzears in their weird and wonderful luniforms.
We are the Palcontents, we are the Palcontents, with a face like a rabbit which seldom repents, our bloody good habit of croaking a bloke while lives on his rents. We are the Palcs, we are the Cons, we are the Palcontents.
Each in his box of stainless steel imprisoned all the week we kneel, for Sunday is the only day that we're allowed a getaway. Ears to the wind, without surprise, we march along with vigorous step, and all the onlookers cry, yep, they must be soldiers, damn their eyes.
We are the Palcontents, we are the Palcontents, with a face like a rabbit which seldom prevents our bloody good habit of croaking the bloke what lives on his rents. We are the Palcs, we are the Cons, we are the Palcontents.
Every morning we are called by the master's boot on our behind, and half awake our backs are galled by the money such as we have to mind. All day the hammer never ceases as we chip your skulls in a thousand pieces until we bring to Par Uve the dough from the stiffs we've croaked this day.
Palcontents, we are the Palcontents, with a face like a rabbit which seldom prevents our bloody good habit of croaking a bloke what lives on his rents. We are the Palcs, we are the Cons, we are the Palcontents.
Our ridiculous luniforms, we wander through the streets so pansy, or else we plug the buckle and jug of every slag who takes our fancy. We get our eats through platinum teats. We pee through a tap without a handle. And we inhale the Atmos tail through a tube as bent as a Dutchman's candle.
We are the Palcontents, we are the Palcontents, with a face like a rabbit which seldom prevents our bloody good habit of croaking a bloke what lives on his rents. We are the Palcs, we are the Cons, we are the Palcontents.
The Palcontents dance round Mr. Akras.
Oh, but it's like this, look, it's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense at all.
Now the stake rises under his chair.
Oh, dear, I don't understand it. If you were only my polyhedra, look, you have mercy on the poor old professor. Look, it's out of the question.
A Crass is impaled and raised in the air despite his cries. It grows pitch dark. The Palcontents begin to ransack the furniture and to pull out bags stuffed full of finance.
Give the cash to Par Ubu. Give all the cash to Par Ubu. Let nothing remain, not even a sou, to go down the drain for the revenue. Give all the cash to Par Ubu.
And now, strange to relate, the three Palcontents step back into their packing cases.
We are the Palcontents, we are the Palcontents, with a face like a rabbit which seldom repents, our bloody good habit of croaking the bloke what lives on his rents. We are the Pals, we are the Cons, we are the Palcontents.
The Palcontents have closed the lids of their packing cases. Poor Mr. Akras has lost consciousness. And now, Par Ubu returns with his spouse.
By my green candle, Ma Ubu, sweet child, how happy shall we be in this house?
There is only one thing lacking to my happiness, my dear friend. An opportunity to greet the worthy host who has placed such entertainment at our disposal.
Don't let that bother you, my dear. To anticipate your wish, I have had him installed in the place of honor. High up, impaled on a stake.
So ends Act One of our heart-rending tragedy. As Act Two opens, we find Mr. Akras still impaled, but still breathing, if somewhat heavily. And who comes here in his long shirt? It is Par Ubi's conscience.
Sir. And so on and so forth.
There must be something beyond this. But what? I ought to be dead. Leave me in peace.
Sir, although my philosophy condemns any form of action outright, what Mr. Ubu did is really too disgraceful. So I am going to disimpale you.
I have no objection, sir.
So on and so forth. I should like to have a word with you. Please, sit down.
Oh, but it's like this, look, you pray don't mention it. I should never be so rude as to sit down in the presence of an ethereal spirit to whom I owe my life. And besides, it's just not on.
Oh. My inner voice and sense of justice tell me it's my duty to punish Mr. Ubu. What revenge would you suggest?
Hey, but it's like this, look you. I've thought about it for a long time. I shall simply unfasten the trap door into the cellar, eh? Put the armchair on the edge, look you. And when the fellow, look you, comes in from his dinner, he'll bust the whole thing in, hey? And that'll make some sense. Goody, goody.
Justice will be done, and so forth.
And Mr. Akras prepares his horrid trap, while Par Ubi's conscience creeps back into his suitcase, yet continues to peer out.
Honest rumpot! You, Mr. Akras, certainly haven't stayed put as I arranged you. Well,
Since you're still alive to be of use to us, don't forget to tell your cook that she's in the habit of serving the soup with too much salt in it and that the joint was overdone. That's not at all the way we like them. It's not that we aren't able, by our skill in pataphysics, to make the most exquisite dishes rise from the earth, but that doesn't prevent your method, sir, from provoking our indignation.
Oh, but it's like this. I promise you it will never happen again. Do sit down, sir.
Ah!
And Père Ubu goes through the floor. It is Balkin Hibbert's final immolation.
Horns to rumpot, sir. What is the meaning of this farce? Your floorboards are in a rotten state. We shall be obliged to make an example of you.
Mr. Ubu is too fat. He'll never go through.
By my green candle, a trap door must be either open or shut. All the beauty of the financial theatre consists in the smooth functioning of its trap doors. This one is choking us. It's flaying our transverse colon and our great epiphloon. Unless you extract us, we shall certainly croak.
All that's in my power, look you, is to charm your last moments by the reading of some of the characteristic passages, look you, of my treatise on the habits of polyhedra, and of the thesis which I have taken 60 years to compose on the tissues of the clonic suction.
Blah!
You'd rather not? Oh, very well. I'm off. I couldn't bear to watch you give up the ghost. It's too sad.
My conscience, where are you? Hornstrumpot, you certainly gave us good advice. All right, we shall do penance and perhaps restore into your hands some small fraction of what we have taken. We shall even desist from the use of our debraining machine.
Sir, I've never wished for the death of a sinner, and so on and so forth. I offer you a helping hand.
Hurry up, sir. We are dying. Pull us out of this trapdoor without delay, and we shall accord you a full day's leave of absence from your suitcase.
Ubu's conscience releases Père Ubu. Then he throws the suitcase in the hole.
There. Oh, thank you, sir. What bliss to move freely. There's no better exercise than gymnastics. Ask any health expert.
Hornstrumpot, sir. You play the fool too much. To show you our superiority in this, as in everything else, we are going to perform the prestidigitatious leap, which may surprise you when you take into account the enormity of our strumpet.
And Père Ubu begins to run and jump.
Sir, I entreat you, don't do anything of the sort. You'll only stove in the floor completely and disappear down another hole. Observe our own light touch.
The conscience leaps into the air, but fails to come down, and remains in the air, hanging by his feet.
Oh, help, help, help! I shall rupture something. Come and help me, Mr. Ubu.
Oh, no, we shall do nothing of the kind, sir. We are performing our digestive functions at this moment, and the slightest dilation of our strumpet might instantly prove fatal. In 2 or 3 hours at the most, the digestive process will be finalized in the proper manner, and we'll fly to your aid. And besides, we are by no means in the habit of unhooking such tatters off the peg.
The conscience wriggles around and finally falls on Ubu's strumpet.
Ah, that's too much, sir. We don't tolerate anyone camping about on us, and least of all, you!
Having lost the suitcase, Ubu takes his conscience by the feet, opens the door of the lavatory recess at the end of the room, and shoves him headfirst down the drain, between the two stone footrests. The lids of the packing cases open slowly, revealing the three palcontents.
Those who aren't scared of his tiny beard are all of them fools and flank at schools who will get a surprise ere the day is out. That's what his machine is all about. For he don't want his royal person a figure of fun for some son of a gun, yeah. He don't like his little Mary to be passed remarks on by Tom, Dick, or Harry. This barrel that rolls, arrow that rolls, arrow that rolls is Pa-Ubu.
Now Pa-Ubu lights his green candle, a jet of hydrogen in a steam of sulfur which gives out a perpetual flute note. He also hangs up two notices on the walls. Machine pricking done here, and get your nears cut.
Hey, Mr. Ubu. Some folks has all the trouble. Mr. Ribaultier, he's been 11 times this morning to your office in Bleepig Square. Hey!
The reference to Mr. Rabontier may sound obscure. It'll soon be clear when the said gentleman, a Rontier by calling, makes his appearance on the scene. But on with the show.
Mr. Ubu, like you told me to, I've carried a case of combustible clenched fists to Mr. Dupont and a pot full of pochette to Mr. Dubois. Hey,
I've been in Egypt, mister, and I brought back that there singing Memnon, by reason of which matters I don't know if he rightly has to be wound up before he sings every morning. I've deposited him in a penny bank. Hey!
Silence, you klutz. We are moved to meditation. The sphere is the perfect form, the sun is the perfect planet, and in us nothing is more perfect than our head, always uplifted toward the sun and aspiring to its shape. Except, perhaps, the human eye, mirror of that star and cast in its likeness. The sphere is the form of the angels. To man it is given to be but an incomplete angel. And yet, more perfect than the cylinder, less perfect than the sphere, radiates the barrel's hyperphysical body. We, its isomorph, are passing fair.
Those who aren't scared of his tiny beard are all of them fools and flunk at schools who find themselves ere the day is done in his knacking machine for their bits of fun.
Now Pa-Ubu, who was sitting at his table, gets up and walks.
It's Sparrow that rolls, Sparrow that rolls, Sparrow that rolls is Pa-Ubu. And his trumpet huge, his trumpet huge, his trumpet huge, his trumpet huge.
Non cum vacaveris pataphysicandum est, as Seneca has said. It would seem a matter of urgency that we get a patch inserted in our suit of homespun philosophy. Omnia alia negligenda sunt. It is certainly highly irreverent, ut hic assidiamus, to employ casks and barrels for the vile business of sewage disposal, for that would constitute the grossest insult to our master of finance, now present as a quorum. Qui nullum tempus vitae satis magnum est. And so that's the reason why we have invented this instrument, which we have no hesitation whatsoever in designating by the title of Pochette Pump.
He takes the said machine from his pocket and puts it on the table.
Hey, mister!
Yes, sir!
And now, as it's getting late, we shall retire to our slumbers. Ah, but I forgot. When you get back from Egypt, you will bring us some mummy grease for our machines. Although we are informed, Hornstrumpet, that the mummy is an animal that runs very fast and is extremely difficult to capture.
Pa-Ubu takes his green candle and his pump and goes out. The statue of Memnon is erected in the middle of the stage, its base being a barrel.
quake at the Lord of Finance. Little bourgeois who's getting too big for his pants. It's too late to scream when we're skinning your asses for the Palcontents. Not meeting top of your block with a sideways look through the top of his glasses. Meanwhile, at dawn, Pat Ubu leaves his couch. No sooner awake, he's 100 rounds to make with a bang. He is out and flings open the door where the verminous Palcontents snarl and snore. He pricks up an ear, lets it down with a whistle. To a kick on the bum, they fall in by the drum. To the parade ground, a mass of unmilitary grizzle. Then he reads his marauders, their bloodthirsty orders, throws them across. He times an onion roll. And with his boot, inclines him through the door. With ponderous tread, he quits his retinue, inquires the hour, consulted cockatoo. Great God, it's 6! How late we are today. Bestir yourself, my lady wife obey. Hand me my pitcher sword and money tweezers.
Oh, sir, says she, permit a wife's suggestion of washing your dear face. Is there no question?
The subject is distasteful to the Lord of Finance, sometimes King of Aragon, Napoleon, or of France. Through his foul breeks, he infiltrates his braces, and come rain or snow or hail, slanting to the morning gale, bends his broad back toward the lonely places.
Thus closes Act Two of our Pataphysical Extravaganza. As Act Three opens, we find the Palcontents coming to grips with a representative of their arch-enemy, the species Rentier.
Walk with prudence, watch with care. Show them how vigilant the Palcontents are.
Wisely discriminating how matters lie twixt black tycoons and honest passers-by.
Look at that one.
His pinstriped suit.
His multicolored stockings.
His plume of feathers.
A rentier, or I'm a Dutchman. Abominable countenance, cowardly sucker. We'll give you a thorough beating up on the spot.
The rentier is loaded with fetters and belabored with punches.
The Honourable Parvu will be agreeably surprised. He shall have Rentier's brains for dinner. One, two, see the wheels go round. Snip, snap, the brains fly all around. My, oh my, the Rentier's in a stew. Hip, hip, arse over tip, hurrah for old Dudu. Hip, hip, arse over tip, hurrah for old Dudu.
And now another Rentier, Rebontier, comes in from the right. He encounters Mr. Akras, who enters from the left. As you will hear, each is terrified of the other.
Oh, it's shameful. It's revolting. A miserable civil servant. I only get 3,700 francs of salary, and every morning Mr. Ubu demands the payment of a treasury bill for 80,000 francs. If I can't pay cash, I have to go and get a taste of the tweezers in Bleed Peak Square. And for each sitting, he charges me 15,000 francs. It's shameful, it's revolting.
Oh, but it's like this. I've no way of staying at home. Mr. Ubu has long made his intentions clear that I should keep out, look you. And besides, he has installed a Shito pump, look you, in my bedroom. There's someone over there. Another Palcontent.
Whom do I behold? An emissary from the Master of Finance? Let's jolly him along. Long live Mr. Ubu!
Rather than risk being impaled again, I'd better agree with him. Look, you. Kill the rentier. Decelebrate him. Off with his nears.
To the machine in Bleepig Square. Death to the rentier.
To the stake, look, you.
And so the victims, each assuming the guise of one of the torturers, advance on each other.
Help, help! Murder!
Who there? Help! Mr. Palcontent, spare me. I didn't do it on purpose, look you. I'm a faithful supporter of Mr. Ubu.
It's revolting. I am a zealous defender of the Master of Finance and Chancellor of the Excretor.
No, but it's like this, Governor. Look, you are you a fencing master?
I've great regret, sir, but I have not that honour.
Cause, look you. Oh, very well, if you aren't a fencing master, I shall hand you my card.
Sir? In that case, I see no point in any further dissimulation. I am a fencing master.
Oh, very well. Give me your card now, please, look you, because I slap all fencing masters so that they are obliged to give me their card, look you, and afterward I give the fencing master's cards to anyone who isn't a fencing master to frighten him, because I'm a man of peace myself. And now that's understood. Very well, then.
How revolting. But, sir, you provoke me in vain. I shan't fight a duel with you. Besides, it will be too uneven.
As to that, look, you set your mind at rest. I shall be magnanimous in victory.
And Now another of our author's weird creatures, a woolly dog, crosses the stage.
It's infamous. This creature sent by Mr. Ubu has stripped my feet of their coverings.
Your multicoloured stockings and your shoes, look you. And to think I was going to ask you to escape with me.
Escape? Where to?
So we can give each other satisfaction, of course, but far away from Mr. Ubu.
In Belgium?
Or better still, look you, in Egypt. I shall pick up a pyramid or two for my collection of polyhedra. As for your slippers, look you, I'll have the cobbler from the corner come up and repair the damage.
Good day to you, sir.
Ah, here he is already. Welcome, Skytotomil. Make yourself at home here. At the back, in this modest corner, your cobbler sign over the door.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And my young friend will present you with his request.
Master Cobbler, I am the one who's escaping to Egypt with my worthy friend, Mr. Klaas. The woolly dogs have stripped my feet bare. I should like to obtain some shoes from you.
Here's an excellent article, sir. Thou art blushed in thy mate. A speciality of the firm, the turd cruncher. For just as no two turds are alike, so does a turd cruncher exist for every taste. These are for while they are still steaming. These are for horse dung. These are for the oldest coprolithes. These are for sullen cowpats. These are for the innocent meconium of a breastfed baby. Here's something special for policemen's droppings, and this pair here is for the stools of a middle-aged man.
Sir, I'll take those. They'll do me very well. How much do you charge for them, Master Cobbler?
14 francs, since you respect us shoemakers.
You're making a mistake, look you, not to take this pair. Look you, for policemen's droppings, you'll get more wear out of them.
You're quite right, sir. Master Cobbler, I'll take the other pair.
But you haven't paid for them, sir.
Because I took them instead of those things of yours for the man of middle age.
But you haven't paid for them either.
Because he hasn't taken them, look you.
Oh, of course, sir. Goodbye, sir.
It's not a very new trick, look you, but quite good enough for an old butcher like that. He'll make it up somehow.
Akras and Robontier are ready to leave, but now they hear the approach of the Palcontents.
Walk with prudence, watch with care. Show them how vigilant the Palcontents are. Wisely discriminating how matters lie twixt black tycoons and honest passers-by.
We must hurry up and get in. It's daylight and our packing cases will be closed.
Hi there, Palcontent 3246. Here's one. Catch him and stuff him in your crate. I've got you, Mr. Murray. Mr. Ubu will be pleased.
Oh, but you've got hold of the completely wrong idea. Let me go, look you. Don't you recognize me? It's Mr. Akras, who's been impaled once already.
Got you.
Sir, let me alone. This is a revolting infringement of the liberty of the individual. Besides, I'm late for my appointment in Bleak Peak Square.
Look out, the big one's getting away. Oh, he's a lovely one, that one.
Oh, help, Master Cobbler, and I'll pay for my shoes.
Help us, Skytotomil. Look, you beat them up. I'd rather beat it myself.
A Palcontent sets fire to the cobbler's hair.
What a night! I've got headache!
Abominable countenance!
Cowardly sucker!
We'll give you a thorough beating up on the spot.
The honourable party do will be agreeably surprise each other frontier's brains for dinner. One, two, see the wheels go round. Snip, snap, the brains fly all around. My, oh my, the frontier's in a stew. Hip, hip, arse over tip, hoorah for old Ubu! Hip, hip, arse over tip, hoorah for old Ubu!
They roast the cobbler, then close the door again. A last tongue of flame shoots through the window. Akras and Robontier are hurled into the barrel base of Memnon, who is himself toppled off it onto the ground to make room for them.
The woolly dogs, those gollywogs, the money bunnies, tweezers, geezers, that unfortunate Rontier, Mr. Rabontier is covered with sheep from head to feet, while the onlookers cheer not one spares a tear, the financial camels are last in the strain, the financial camels, they've humped it in vain.
Act 4. Memnon, wearing his nighttime uniform of a scavenger, has picked himself up, readjusted his triple-decker cap and his sewage wader's top boots, and signals from the doorway.
Sweet Mistress Ubu, you may come in. We are alone.
Oh, my friend. I was so afraid for you when I heard all that shindy.
I want my burden.
I don't want old Ubu.
We are observed. Let us continue this conversation elsewhere. In here.
Memnon and his paramour, Ma Ubu, retreat to the privy in the back, the door of which remains half open.
Honest rumpot. We have taken possession of Mr. Akrasi's finance. We have impaled him and commandeered his home. And in this home, pricked on by remorse, we are looking for somewhere where we can return to him the very tangible remains of what we have stolen, to wit, his dinner.
It's Mr. Ubi. I'm lost.
Through this diamond-shaped opening, I see his horns shining in the distance. Oh, where can I hide? Ha! I'll jump down there.
Oh, don't even think of it, dear child. You'll kill yourself.
Kill myself? By Gog and Magog, one can live. One can breathe down there. It's all part of my job. I want to hop.
Memnon dives into the abyss, encountering Pa Ubu's conscience, who emerges like a worm at the same moment.
Oh, what a shock. My head is booming from it.
Like an empty barrel.
Doesn't yours boom?
Not in the least.
Like a cracked pot. I'm keeping my eye on it.
More like an eye at the bottom of a chamber pot.
I have, in fact, the honor to be the conscience of Mr. Ubu.
Was it he who precipitated your shapelessness into this hole?
I deserved it. I tormented him, and he has punished me.
Poor young man.
Ah, the bulk contents. That is why you must go back again. And me too, and Madame Ubu as well.
They descend.
Enter, Hornstrom Pot.
The bulk contents appear, carrying green candles, encountering Pa Ubu in his nightshirt, who squats down without a word. The whole thing collapses. He emerges again, thanks to the Archimedean principle. Then, with great simplicity and dignity, his nightshirt perhaps a shade subflask, he speaks.
Is the Peshitta pump out of order? Answer me, or I'll have you decerebrated.
Memnon's head emerges from the depths.
It's not functioning at all. It's broken down. Oh, what a dirty business. Like your braining machine. I'm not afraid of that. It all proves my point. There's nothing like a sewage barrel. In falling in and popping out again, you've done more than half the work for me.
By my green candle, I'll gouge your eyes out. Barrel, pumpkin, refuse of humanity.
Pa Ubu shoves Memnon back. Then shuts himself in the lavatory recess with the palcontents. Thus ends Act 4. Act 5 opens with our two friends, Mr. Akras and Rebentier the Rentier, in conversation.
Sir, I have just witnessed a most extraordinary incident.
And I think, look you, sir, that I've seen exactly the same. No matter, explain yourself, and we'll try to find the explanations.
Sir, I saw the customs officers at the Gare de Lyon opening a packing case to be delivered to... Whom do you think?
I believe I heard someone say that it was addressed to Mr. Ubu at the Rue de la Chaudet.
Precisely, sir. And inside were a man and a stuffed monkey.
A large monkey?
What do you mean by large monkey? Simians are always fairly small and can be recognized by their dark coats and colors of fur of a lighter color. Great height is an indication of the soul's aspiration to heaven.
It's the same with the flies, look you. But shall I tell you what I think? I'm inclined to believe that they were mummies.
Egyptian mummies?
Yes, sir. That's the explanation. There was one that looked like a crocodile, look you, dried up. The skull depressed, as in primitive man. The other, look you, had the brow of a thinker and a most dignified air. Ah, yes, his hair and beard were white as snow.
Sir, I don't know what you're driving at. Besides, the mummies, including the dignified old monkey, jumped out of their case amid a chorus of yells from the customs men and, to the consternation of the onlookers, took the tram that crosses the Pont de l'Alma.
Great heavens, how astonishing. We too just came here by that conveyance. Oh, look you, for the sake of accuracy, that tramway...
That's exactly what I said to myself, sir. It's most peculiar that we did not meet them.
Now, Pa Ubu opens the door, illuminated by the palcontents.
Ah, Hornstrumpot. You, Mr. Akras, be off. You've been told to before.
Oh, but it's like this. Look you, this happens to be my home.
Oh, scallops. And Horn of Ubu, Mr. Abontier, it's you, I don't doubt any longer, who came to my house to cuckold me, who mistakes my virtuous wife, in other words, for a pisspot. We shall find ourselves one fine day, thanks to you, the father of an Archaeopteryx, or worse, which won't look at all like us. Basically, we are of the opinion that cuckoldry implies marriage, and therefore a marriage without cuckoldry has no validity, but for form's sake we have decided to punish him severely. Palcontents, knock him down for me. Lights, please, and you, sir, answer me. Am I a cuckold? How disgusting. He can't reply because he fell on his head. His brain has doubtless received an injury to the Broca convolution, where the faculty of holding forth resides. This convolution is the third frontal convolution on the left as you go in. Ask the hall porter. There's nothing to be done with him. We shall have to make do with twisting the nose and nears, with removal of the tongue, an extraction of the teeth, laceration of the posterior, hacking to pieces of the spinal marrow, and the partial or total spaghettification of the brain through the heels. He shall first be impaled, then beheaded, and then finally drawn and quartered. After which the gentleman will be free, through our great clemency, to go and get himself hanged anywhere he chooses. No more harm will come to him, for I wish to treat him well.
Oh, sir!
Hornstrumpot, I forgot to consult my conscience.
Pa Ubu goes back to the recess. Meanwhile, Rebontier escapes, pursued by the palcontents.
Those who aren't scared of his tiny beard are all of them fools and flunk at schools who find themselves ere the day is done in his knacking machine for their bits of fun.
And now Pa Ubu reappears, leading his conscience by the hand.
Hornstrumpot, Mr. Akras, so you refuse to be off, like my conscience here, whom I can't get rid of.
Sir, don't make fun of Epictetus in his misfortune.
The Stickabetus is doubtless an ingenious instrument, but the play has gone on quite long enough, and we are in no disposition to employ it today.
That noise was made by the crocodile, which is at this moment crossing the stage.
Oh, but it's like this, look you. What on earth is that?
It's a boidy.
It's a most characteristic reptile, and moreover, its hands possess all the properties of a snake's.
Then it must be a whale. For the whale is the most inflated boidy in existence, and this animal seems thoroughly distended.
I tell you, it's a snake.
That should prove to Mr. Conscience his stupidity and absurdity. We had come to the same conclusion long before he said so. In fact, it is a snake. a rattler into the bargain.
One thing's quite certain, look you. It ain't no polyhedron.
At this point, our author's manuscript breaks off. No one will ever know what happened. But my guess is as good as yours, and it is that the crocodile devoured them all. Akras, Par Ubu, his conscience, the Palcontents, all the other characters. And perhaps even our poor author. What a crunch that must have been as they were crushed by those giant reptile jaws. After which, the crocodile went quietly on his way.
Alfred Jaffe's Pataphysical Extravaganza, Ubu Coquille, was translated from the French by Cyril Connolly. The music was written by John Beckett. Par Ubu was played by John Sharp. Ma Ubu by Margaret Wolfitt. Ubu's Conscience by John Moffat. Akras by Noel Howlett. Rebentier by Ralph Truman. Skytotomil by Ronald Baddeley. Memnon by Geoffrey Matthews. And The Three Palcontents by Peter Pratt, Brian Hewlett, and Gordon Faith. The narrator was Preston Lockwood. The play, which was recorded, was adapted for radio and produced by Martin Eslin.